This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dave Harding, bottom of the hour-ish. All depends on how much fun we have with our friends. Not of the Scribe and Randy Slack as we get to our roundtable. Randy from our affiliate in... Oh, I'm sorry. I have this. I'm a pro. It's really embarrassing when you forget the format of the show. See, we have an open for this. It's the whole Knights of the Roundtable. Never mind. Randy Slack, ESPN Wilmington, Slack on Sports, the whole thing. Comedian, man about town, recommender of fine hamburgers. He joins us. And, of course, our friend, dear friend, in studio at one point, not of the Scribe, Kanata Edwards, CBSSports.com. Sir, thank you very much for your time. I'm glad I have everybody here. So let's go. Let's start with the football game. Let's start with the Panthers game. Is this game about Baker Mayfield or something else, Nada?
It should be about something else. It won't be because it's going to be about Baker Mayfield. It's one of those things where we're just talking about Baker. I mean, it was the first game promoted on Thursday Night Football. So it's going to be about Baker, even though it shouldn't be. And even though he's tried to coach speak his way out of it all week, or better yet, for most of preseason, it shouldn't be about him, but it will be.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. They spent all summer. They talked about Baker Mayfield every day for 2 months as though America really cared. Like, no offense to Baker. But, I mean, it said to me, and you can react to this as well, Randy, it said to me that there just wasn't that much to discuss about the NFL in June and July.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm a big fan of the UFC, and sometimes not the best fighters are the guys that get promoted, but the guys who have the biggest personalities. And Baker Mayfield is a guy with a huge personality. It's the biggest issue with this team. So, yeah, quarterbacks matter. This guy has endorsement deals for some reason. Good for him. He's a big personality. People are going to talk about him.
Yeah, he certainly is. And I think that's his best quality as a quarterback, more than the ability to throw and all of that. I just think he presents himself as a number one quarterback way more than Sam Darnold did. Sam Darnold, to me, looks like the backup quarterback. And Baker Mayfield looks like the starter. And do you think it was a real competition or was it just sold to us as a competition, Randy?
I think it was just a lip service competition, the same way this isn't really a revenge game for him. You know, he doesn't want to talk about it. They wanted to make it like it was a competition. I will say, though, it seemed like both Baker and Sam were really professional about this. Sure. And It did come off kind of nice how I guess as far as what we saw, you know, in the media and the general public between this quarterback competition, it seemed like the guys supported each other. It's pretty cool, you know, with how that situation went.
I appreciate you you getting into the brotherhood of this. How much of that are you in love with, Nada?
The brotherhood. I treated it like real, like. Instead of Real Housewives, we had the Real Quarterbacks of Charlotte. That's what it was. It was right. A reality show. It was one of those things where we're talking about, hey, it's these two guys. They're really in quote unquote competition. Even though if Sam Darnold was that good to where he was going to be the starter, they would have never traded for Baker in the first place. So there's that whole rigmarole, but. I just enjoy the whole reality show angle of this, where they're trying to create this competition. They're trying to create this friendly rivalry. And at the end of the day, Sam Darnold's like, yo, I get paid $18 million whether I start or whether I'm wearing this really cool hat. So, I mean,
it's not a really
there's
cool
only so
hat,
much
though.
About it that I really, it's like, there's only so much about it that you can really find cordial, you know?
Is there a hat worn on the sideline in the NFL that you would buy?
No.
Right. That's what you said, really cool hat. There's the worst hats.
The NFL has the worst apparel of any professional sports league.
It's not, there's no second place.
So bad.
There's no second place. I know, it's like, who buys these hats? All right, so Nada, what is other than the shiny object of Baker, what is the game about?
The game is about, does Matt Rhule start off on the good foot for the third year in a row before it all falls apart? Like, that's the story. Can they win this game against a team that's going to be down at least one of their corners, starting corners, might be down two offensive tackles? Can they beat the one-legged man in the you-know-what kicking contest? Can they do that? It's really that simple. That's what the game is about. Can you go 1-0, and can you bring something, can you bring at least a good feeling before we all know it falls apart right around November or December?
So you're saying this game is about Matt Rhule. Randy, what is the game about?
Well, it's about the offensive line. I think that was a really big factor in why they were so bad. Obviously, Sam Darnold isn't a good quarterback, but when you have as many different offensive line combinations that they had last year, that's not going to be good for any football team. I've been covering the Panthers since 2018. They started that year 6-2, and I think finished 7-9.
Yeah.
This is a hot start team that always falls apart. And looking at the schedule, I think this is a team that conceivably could start 5-0 and potentially finish 7-10.
7-10, I think would be a fairly decent year for this team. Here's I think you're closer. I understand what Nada's saying about this is a game about Matt Rhule. I think the season, or the first 10 games of the season, is about Matt Rhule. I think that there are three things that I'm looking at in this game. One, are they going to get completely run over and trucked by Cleveland's run game? I think Cleveland's going to try and pound the ball straight at Carolina all day long. They've got really good running backs, a good offensive line, although banged up. And Jacoby Brissett isn't going to scare anybody. So maybe Carolina throws Jeremy Chinn up in the box and says, we got eight up here. Dare you. The other thing is, it is about Ike Ekwonu and get run over slowly by Myles Garrett. And I also think it's about Christian McCaffrey. Like, we got to see how this team is planning on using the 22. Because if I think they need to be creative, I think he needs to touch the ball 30 times a game. But that's just me. I'm not worried about saving him, because what are we saving him for? Right? I mean,
did you say creative and Matt Rhule? Hold on.
Well, there's Ben McAdoo. Ben McAdoo is creative.
I'm just asking. I just need to clarify. I'm just asking a clarifying question here, because you said creative and Matt Rhule, and I don't think we've seen that much creativity out of that coaching staff outside of maybe Phil Snow. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, it's a very good point. That is a very good point. All right, speaking of creative, Randy.
Yes.
Did Dave Doran intentionally go vanilla at East Carolina and invite a loss when he couldn't get the ball in the end zone?
Did he intentionally go vanilla?
Or is that just what the NC State's offense is?
I mean, they are who we thought they were, I think. It's a team, there's a lot of hype on them, and, you know, they looked, I don't know, is the moment going to be too big for them? It looks like this was just a nearly disappointing game for them week one.
Yeah, they should have lost the game. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
they should. I didn't like the way they managed the clock at the end. I'm like, you know, you could, if he makes the field goal, you could give yourself about a minute left and you can go down the field and kick your own field goal. Huh? That's possible. Apparently they were content just letting and then icing the kicker when they didn't need to. However, that whole thing played out. Nada, you got a read on what ailed the Wolfpack in that game, or maybe it was East Carolina being better?
Honestly, it's preseason for everybody. I think that's what we got to look at for this, is that there were a lot of kinks that needed to be ironed out before. And maybe this makes Doran and them think about the schedule and maybe scheduling a week zero game and getting all those kinks out against a team that can't really hurt you like North Carolina did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of more with that on, because other than that, I don't mind. Like, they were who they were going to be. Dave Dorn is naturally boring. They have a team that is going to be just meat and potatoes, and they got lucky. Okay, let's see if they continue to make the same comedy of errors week after week. I don't expect them to. I think we just got to give them a mulligan on this one.
Okay. It's week one for them, but maybe not for ECU.
Now, maybe hear me out real quick. Maybe they made the offense vanilla because they're trying to get into the Big Ten, because they see Iowa and they're like, well, maybe we can play like this and we can get one of these super conferences.
Yeah, well, they never mind. I'm not gonna bring up any sore subjects about Iowa. It's probably best that we just let that stand. I think there's an element of what NC State presented against East Carolina that intentionally played it close to the vest, and they're all pointing towards October 1st against Clemson. Hey, real quick about Clemson. Is the starting quarterback Nada going to be DJ Uiagalelei or Cade Klubnik? When the Wolfpack go down there, yeah.
It'll be Cade Klubnik by Wake, much less by NC State.
Oh, but the week before.
The clock is ticking. I like DJ. I think he's a really nice guy in the couple of times I've met him. The guy can't run the offense as well as Cade, and it's very clear, and it's going to become even more apparent, even with these body bag games that are coming up against these two next opponents that I cannot remember at this moment.
Neither can I, and that's fine. I appreciate you calling them body bag games. Look, to me, Randy, you'll remember this. There were we had the Kelly Bryant. He started. He played the entire year. He was wonderful. They got to the playoff. The next year, four games in, they realized we ain't winning the playoff without Trevor Lawrence. So, Trevor, you're the guy. And then Kelly Bryant just waved goodbye. Without the transfer angle, you think Dabo is looking at it that way?
Yeah, I mean, you got to go with the guy who gives you the more upside. I think they know what they have in DJ, and it's not great.
Yeah, I don't believe they can beat good teams, really good teams. Yeah. And I will put NC State in that category with bad offense. I mean, they might be able to beat State in a 17-13 game. Maybe they'll try to win that game 17-13 with their own defense. But you're not going to beat elite teams with no offense. Nick Saban gave into that. I'm still waiting for Kirby Smart and Georgia to kind of figure out that, you know, they kind of took advantage of some situations. Alabama was out of wide receivers when they got to that game. But, you know, we'll see. All right, let me ask this. We don't have a ton of time left. So Major League Baseball approved rules changes. I know, Nada, I didn't send you this on your cheat sheet, but baseball sent some rules changes. Some of the things that I do like: bigger bases, so 18 inches wide as opposed to 15 inches wide. They say it's going to promote stolen bases. I'm all for stolen bases. Pitch clock, 15 second pitch clock with nobody on base. I'm okay with just keeping the game moving. Also, the batters have to stay in the batter's box, basically. With 8 seconds left on the pitch clock, batters got to be ready to go, which I love. We don't need the Nomar Garcia-Para, adjust my batting gloves for 20 seconds. The Mike Hargrove human rain delay. Most people won't even remember that.
Oh, man.
There you go. But the shiny object is no shift. So I'll start with you, Nada, on no shift. Two infielders, both sides of second base, can't be in the outfield grass either. Thoughts?
It's going to help a lot of the guys that are naturally pull hitters, because clearly we have guys that are – the game is shifting to you're going to be strong pull hitters. You're going to have all this. It's going to increase batting averages. It's going to make the game more exciting. At the same time, I'm kind of mourning the shift, even though I hate it so, so much. Like, I'm one of the – like, as someone that just watches a whole bunch of baseball, I enjoy the strategy. You're taking a piece of it away. Even though it's made for some god-awful batting average, high Joey Gallo.
Yeah.
At the same point, I'm kind of looking forward to players hitting 300, 320 a little bit more regularly now that they're taking the shift away.
Randy?
I mean, professional sports are about entertainment. Moving the game along with the pitch clock is great. Getting rid of the shift is great. I mean, in the NFL, you can only have so many guys on the line of scrimmage. You can only move so many guys. There's illegal shifts. There's all that kind of stuff. There's rules in place. The NBA put hack-a-shack rules in to make the games more bearable and more viewer-friendly. Baseball needs to do things like that, and the shift is one of those things that they absolutely need to do. By the way, if you did put a guy over the fence in the stands, if he caught the ball, it would be an out, because if you reach over the wall and catch a home run, that's an out. You rob a guy of a home run.
Yes, but you can't start your positioning outside.
That's true.
In the stands. That's the whole point. Yeah. In fact, actually, I don't think it should be allowed where if you start in the field of play, if you leave the field of play in the act of catching the ball, I think it's a home run. If your body ends up on the other side of the wall, that's a home run. It should be. And if you end
you're
up
trying to incite more replay, Adam, and we can't have that.
No,
baseball replay.
What do we need replay for if you are on the other side of the fence? We don't need replay. Hey.
Well, how much over the fence? A wrist? Is a wrist?
No.
Is an arm?
If your entire body ends up on the other side of the fence, whether your entire body is in the seats or your entire body as it has happened at Fenway Park, is in the right field bullpen.
Now, is this like the Royal Rumble in WWE? Do both feet have to touch the floor for it to count? Or can, like, you be upside down and it still count as an out? See, these are rules we have to work out.
There are rules in wrestling?
There are a few. You have to have rules. You can't have bad guys if there are no rules to break.
Oh, that is true. That is true. If there are no rules to break, it is not professional. See, that's absolutely brilliant. Look, I want baseball to be great, but I think that taking away defense is not the way to do it. I think there are other ways to do it, but I don't think it'll dramatically impact the game. Very quickly, your favorite moment of Queen Elizabeth?
God Save the Queen by Queen.
That's fine.
That might be it.
That's good. Randy, you have a favorite QE2? Story,
man,
or moment.
The only royalty I thought about yesterday was Ozzy Osbourne only getting 10 seconds during the halftime on NBC. That was the biggest injustice of yesterday. I'm American through and through. I don't even know what my ancestry.com is, so I can't speak on people in other countries.
All right, very, very quickly, the open of the 2012 Olympics when Queen Elizabeth and Daniel Craig as James Bond helicoptered into the stadium. Go watch the video online. Absolutely brilliant. Nada the Scribe, Kanata Edwards, CBSSports.com, Randy Slack from ESPN Wilmington, Slack on Sports. Gentlemen, it was a blast. We'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Always fun. Thank you.
Joining us now, the crack analyst for the Duke Radio Network, my friend Dave Harding. Former offensive lineman for the Blue Devils. Sir, you look fabulous. Not quite as good as 30-0 over Temple. Did that catch you a little by surprise, the amount of dominance that the Blue Devils put on the field?
Yeah, it did. I mean, we talked just before the game, and there were a lot of question marks swirling around. I knew that, and we had talked, you know, Hayes in the barn, the guys had done the work, but I have not seen a first performance, an opening game as crisp as that since I've been affiliated with Duke. I thought the communication was great. The effort was terrific. The thing that really stuck out to me was the tackling. And obviously that shows in the big goose egg that Temple was forced to yield and to submit. So overall, I thought a fantastic start for the Mike Elko era. And you can feel, Adam, the excitement, the energy rolling off of that game.
I want to go to the offensive side of the ball real quick. And then we could talk about defense, but because I thought the defense obviously was very impressive. Riley Leonard looked really good in the game. Again, Temple is what Temple is. I don't think Temple's very good, but it doesn't really matter. He looked very much, very polished. But I'm not sure that the most eye-opening thing to me was moving Moore out to wide receiver. I had not, I'm probably a dope, but I had not heard that that was going to happen, but he looked really good at receiver, like he had been working on that maybe for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
3 weeks, but I can tell you, you could put me out at receiver for 3 years and I wouldn't look half as good as that. I mean, that's pretty impressive. He had not played the position at all, a little in high school, but you know, been completely focused on the quarterback position since he got to Duke. And for him to make the transition, it was 3 weeks almost to the day from the starter that he was switched out wide. And I thought the chemistry between he and Riley Leonard was fantastic. So much in the passing game, as you know, is about the timing and being able to throw somebody open, anticipating when a window might be there down the field. And for a wide receiver that, granted, has played quarterback, so should know the concepts, but for him to pick it up athletically so quickly speaks to what kind of specimen he is, and his ability to mirror what you see maybe in the film room or drawing on the board to actually executing that on the field was a great surprise. And I mean, instantaneously basically shoots up to the number one receiver spot on Duke's board, in my opinion, just because of what he can do in the open field. You saw in the first drive, get the ball in his hands. He makes one person miss, has the speed to get away from other people on the defense. I mean, Duke has needed that kind of it guy, the go-to guy. Obviously, competition is going to continue to get more tough and tougher and a little stiffer. But overall, I think Jordan Moore has kind of cemented himself into that wide receiver spot.
All right, so let's talk about the defense as it pertains to this week. I saw great pursuit. You talked about the tackling. Duke has speed, certainly in their back seven. When you talk about the challenge of Northwestern, especially Northwestern might be a little salty after the game a year ago here in Durham where Duke won. What's the challenge, and how does that defense take even another step?
The challenge is finding a way to match physicality or to out-physical a team that is highly physical, especially at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
This is a veteran offensive line. I mean, you look down the board, it's grad students, seniors. Helinski, the quarterback, is playing really well. Blue Devil fans saw him briefly in last year's game. But you know, last year, I think you can kind of throw out the window from a comparison standpoint just because of so much that's different. First of all, with the Blue Devil roster and the scheme this year, but also the turnovers really put Northwestern behind in the game a year ago. And then they cleaned things up in the second half and found a way to make it a game. So wasn't a true example, I think, of what they're capable of. But defensively, we talk about physicality up front, trying to match, at least get some stalemates along the line of scrimmage. And then I think the big X factor for Duke in the past couple of years, and Duke has won the last three meetings against Northwestern, but the reason is their speed. And you mentioned the guys flying around in the back half and in the secondary. I think that is something that a Big Ten team doesn't experience on a regular basis. It is interesting, the two different styles. Northwestern is built offensively and defensively. Just get in there and grind it out. Mm-hmm. And that's really not Duke's forte. So it's kind of which one of those two clashing styles. You got the speed mixed with just the big grass-fed beef guys running around, and which one of those ends up winning the day is the big question in this game.
Dave Harding, Duke Radio Network, the grass-fed Northwestern Wildcats against the Duke Blue Devils. All right, final thing. Did anything that you saw against Temple maybe change your opinion, give you more of an optimistic view of what this season can be?
It did. I thought you mentioned the execution either been of Riley Leonard at quarterback. That's hard to do against air. I mean, I've seen quarterbacks plenty of times throw incomplete passes, overthrow people, poor decisions, any of that. And so I thought the overall understanding and the communication of this team and the leadership that we saw out there, whether it's at the quarterback position or along the defensive line, that gave me a little bit more hope. Whenever a team comes out and is as crisp and not, I wouldn't say flawless, but able to overcome certain dynamics in a game, regardless of who your opponent is, that gives me more hope. Also the tackling part, I don't think that can be understated. I've not seen a Duke defense hit with as much physicality and bring people to the ground on first effort like I did on Friday night in a very long time. And now it's all about sustainability. Can you keep that going against tougher opponents? I mean, Temple is going to struggle this season, yeah. I think. Northwestern's got a lot more talent. They've obviously, you know, a Power 5 opponent makes a difference. And so can you kind of capture that energy, harness the momentum that you picked up in the first game? I think it's really important in the way that they started, but and keep that going. This is a big test, and you got an opportunity then to come home the next week against a non-FBS foe, regroup, and move forward into ACC play.
All right, you have to catch a plane, but final question is grass-fed better or worse than corn-fed?
I think grass-fed's better. Corn nowadays, kind of the go-to, you know, feed that's a little cheaper. And anything pelletized, I don't really want either. So you got to pay that top dollar for grass-fed. So tonight, when I'm in Chicago, eating either Italian food of some kind, might be deep dish, might be something else, I'm definitely opting for the grass-fed.
Good for you. Dave Harding, safe trip. I appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds good.
That was great. Quality way to end. Grass-fed versus corn-fed. Personally, I do grass-fed. I do grass-fed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I do grass-fed.
All right, we teased the announcement. We get to it about the right, not that far after 2:45. So, I don't know what it says about me.
Okay.
But this is the second time in 4 months. Right? Second time in 4 months.
When was that?
April.
Was it April?
Al Campbell moved on, right?
Yeah, that's 4 months.
So what was this? May, end of March, June, July, for 4 months. Yeah, basically four months. So, Dennis Cox, when I get here Monday, you will not be here with me.
No.
So congratulations on whatever it is you are going to.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, I wish you and them the best.
Them?
Yes.
Okay. We can call them
that's
them.
That's a pronoun that is used. All right, so.
But yes. First. But you will still occasionally hear me.
Oh, no. You'll be heard. You'll be heard.
Now, I'm curious. Do my the units that I have accrued.
Right.
Do those transfer?
I think you take the units with you.
Oh, okay.
You take the units with
you.
So
I can keep them.
Yeah, if I were you, I would try to cash them in.
I ended on a heater.
I would try to cash them in. All right,
I still got futures out there.
Yes, you do. We'll keep tabs on those. Although I will not know if any of your PLL futures cash.
Oh, I'll let you know. Don't you worry.
In all seriousness, thank you for the 4 months.
Man, that was a good time.
Apparently, not good enough for you. That's fine. It's not a shot to my ego, but appreciate all you've done. We've done some different things over the last 4 months. So thank you.
Well, sometimes choices are made for us.
Well, and that is true.
That's the thing as well, especially in this industry. Choices sometimes are made for you.
I'll see you at PNC Arena for sure.
Oh yeah.
But whatever. We'll see. Maybe I'll see you here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll.
Maybe, during Hurricanes games, maybe I'll see you here.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially. You never know.
We've got 5 minutes left in this shindig. In your final Adam Gold Show's shindig. I don't know about final. I mean, you might show up from time to time.
Like I said, you'll hear my voice on occasion.
All right.
Doing different things.
We got games to pick, shall we?
Let's do it.
And we said yesterday we would pick them through beer. Right?
Yes.
Should we start with the Browns and the Panthers?
Of course.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you because you are that guy.
Okay.
Cleveland is the visiting team. Great Lakes Brewing. Sneaky good brewery, by the way, in Cleveland.
Okay.
Really good. The Elliott Ness Amber, very good. I know you're an Amber Ale guy.
I'm a huge Amber Ale guy.
The Edmund Fitzgerald Porter is delicious. Mm-hmm. Or the Sycamore Mountain Candy, which is an IPA, but the Southern Girl Blonde Ale.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic.
Southern
give me a winner.
Girl Blonde?
Give me a winner.
You had me at Southern Girl Blonde.
Yeah.
I might have to go with that. As much as I love Amber Ale.
Really?
Great Lakes has some heaters.
Great Lakes
really
very good.
They really do.
I can't believe I didn't know they were made in I thought it was a Michigan beer.
Oh, it's Cleveland.
But it's a Cleveland
beer. Cleveland beer. Big in the Midwest. I'll go with Charlotte here.
Yeah, Sycamore.
Yeah.
I like Sycamore. But once you told me that Great Lakes. The Edmund Fitzgerald's really good.
Yeah, I know. That's so, it's a tough one. It's a pick 'em.
It is a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em game. If I had to drink just one of them, though, it would be an Edmund Fitzgerald. So, kind of lean Browns. All right, San Francisco is at Chicago. Anchor Steam, very good.
Now we're going Santa Clara beers, or we're going San Francisco.
San Francisco beers. You know what? Okay. Good point. I didn't look up Santa Clara beers.
And I'm wearing a Stan's Donuts T-shirt today.
Oh, that's
for
right.
Santa Clara.
Anchor Steam or okay. Old Style, Chicago's favorite beer.
I've seen Old Style around when I lived in Wisconsin because it wasn't far from Chicago where I was. So I might go, I don't know. Was it Anchor Steam?
Yeah.
Don't know it.
It's pretty, you can walk into a store and probably get an Anchor Steam. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Old Style's trash.
Okay.
It's horrible.
I haven't had it either.
God, it's so bad.
So Anchor Steam it is. Though.
God, it's terrible. Anchor Steam, yeah, it's a blowout. It's a 3-touchdown win. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. Some Iron Cities.
Iron City versus the Mad Tree Brewery in Cincinnati. They have something called a Happy Amber.
Oh, I'm sold on that then.
Yeah.
Happy Amber. As much as I hate picking against the Steelers. I'll take the Happy Amber.
Yeah, I will. I will too. Take the Happy Amber. Philly at Detroit. Yingling at Stroh's.
Yingling.
This game is going to end in a tie.
Wow. Watch it end in a tie.
This game ends in a tie, you're pointing directly to that. There are people who ride for Yingling, and I have never tasted a Yingling that didn't feel like. Did this go bad? Is this kind of...
I don't mind Yingling.
Is this... Did it get skunky?
Maybe.
So, no offense. New England at Miami. Sam Adams. Mm. Or, this is pretty cool. Miami has a brewery named MIA Brewing.
Okay.
And they have a beer called the Miami Vice. W-E-I-S-S.
I guess it's a Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I see what you're there. Yeah. Just for the creativity of the names, I'm going Miami on this.
Me too.
One.
And I'm a fan of Sam Adams Alpine Lager. That's actually my favorite of the Sam Adams. Cold Snap's also very good.
Okay.
Cold Snap's also very good. Bucks Cowboys. Coppertail Brewery is the official brewery of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And by all accounts, very accomplished versus Dallas's Lone Star.
I can't do anything Lone Star, so I'll take the Tampa Bay one.
Yeah, it looks like a very reputable brewery.
Yeah.
I've never had one of them. I have had a Lone Star. It's every bit as good as an Old Style. So Dallas loses.
Yeah.
So we'll both go with the Buccaneers based on that. The Miami Vice. God,
that's a great name.
It's a
great name.
I love the creativity there. Absolutely love the creativity. All right, We got to get out of here. Thanks again for all you've done for 4 months.
It's been a good
time. I don't know
what
you're doing next, but I'm sure it'll be a smash hit.
Check social media. You'll
okay.
find things.
At the Fan Rookie.
Yes.
At the Fan Rookie.
This is the Adam Gold Show.